and a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. It is a Reaction Monday presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. That is what we're going to do all show long. React to a big weekend in sports, including the Titans. 0-2 on the season after falling to the Rams yesterday at Nissan Stadium, 33-19. I had to remember the name of the stadium. That's how bad this is right now.
Trying to forget all of it, man.
But it was a good weekend for the Commodores, a good weekend for the Blue Raiders, bad weekend for the Vols. But we will cover it all here today on the program. How you doing, JoJo?
Good, man. It's I love Mondays, and I love every day. But another chance to talk about our favorite football team down the road, who's just, my goodness, man. It's just 0-2. There's really nothing. I mean, there's a few positives here and there to talk about that we talk about every week. We have Cam Ward and a few players here and there. I don't know, man. And I think it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. But we got it. We're going to see it play out in real time. And I hate it. God, I hate it. They're the worst team in football.
So I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree with this statement. The statement is, they have the quarterback in spite of bad play calling and an inept head coach.
That's a good way to put it. Okay, Denver, why do you go for it on your own 5-yard line when you haven't gone for it through the game? You turn it over, Denver scores, you get a touchdown, you're leading, and you're trailing at halftime. Yesterday, he settled for a field goal. He settled for a field goal at the half. Go for it.
Yep.
I tell you all the time, fortune favors the bold. Tried and true throughout history. Go for it. Oh, we're going to settle for a field goal. That is a losing mentality.
Yeah.
Settle for a field goal. Losing.
Like, this team is not in the position where they can settle for anything.
No.
I think that they have to take opportunity whenever the opportunity presents itself. And, you know, I thought the play calling, I was at the game yesterday watching it, and I'm up in the stands, and all of us are going, why are you being so bleeping conservative? Because he was. I get, every coach is going to tell you, well, you have to establish the run, then you can use play action. Okay, well, you have a quarterback with a really good arm that can sling it. You have hungry receivers that had a bad week. Like, if it's me, and granted, I am not a coach. I'm not pretending to be a coach. But if it's me, I'm slinging it. I am
all day long.
Like, you're just going out there and you're trying to go big play. And then, you know, early on, like, and again, I don't have a problem with Pollard running the ball. Pollard's a good running back. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I think you got to take more chances downfield. And you could tell that he was being conservative and to protect the quarterback. Like, just he's fine. He didn't say that. I think that's what he's doing.
Well, he's too conservative. I understand mixing, matching, misdirection plays, and all that. Calvin Ridley can't catch a pass, right?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So they're paying him 23
– 6 targets, 3 catches.
$23 million a year for what? To drop balls? I'm going to beat the dead horse again this week. Call up Restrepo.
Yeah.
Call up somebody who wants to be there, not afraid. Calvin Ridley caught a great pass 4 yards out of bounds yesterday.
Yep.
Great job. I'm tired of you. And I told Dr. Crane this. Here's how you fix this team, right? One time I got bad gas in my car with the mechanic. So what do? He's like, you got to flush the gas.
You had bad gas.
Every day.
Yeah.
He goes, you got to flush the gas out. You got to flush it all out and start anew. That's what this team's got to do. They've drafted awful. They're free. Dan Moore right now should be applying for a job as a Walmart greeter, because all he does as left tackle is greet people. How are we doing today? You having a good day? Here's my quarterback. Go sack him.
Yeah.
That's all he does. Terrible. The evaluation's terrible. You have some really terrible football players on this team. Flush them out. Start anew. I do believe in Borgonzi. I think his acumen, football acumen, is good. Keep him there. But everybody else, you got to start new. Brian Callahan is 3-16 as a head coach. Is that right? 3-14, lost 2? Yeah,
yes.
3-16.
Yep.
It ain't getting better, Chase. It's
nope.
Not getting any better. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, and I, like, the thing is, I was hoping he would know enough to at least, like I hear Mo Sizlak in my, or I hear a Simpsons episode with Mo in it, like, you couldn't even give me three rounds. Like, that's how I kind of feel right now. It's like, I give me half a season of something.
Right. Did you believe for a second they were going to win yesterday? Be honest.
Yes.
You did?
Going into the game? No, absolutely.
No. During the game, did you believe they were going to win?
At halftime, yes, I did.
You really thought they would win?
At half, it was they had the lead at halftime.
But you know what he's done? It never gave me confidence. They were putting the Rams away. Never.
It was 13-10 at halftime. They had made some big plays, and that, I mean, look, it was a broken play, it was a stupid play, but holy crap, it was an awesome play with Cam Ward throwing across his body and finding Io Manor in the back of the end zone.
Right.
That was one of those from Major League where Lou Brown's like, hey, that was an incredible catch, don't ever effing do it again. Like,
what did I tell you all the time?
That's what that was.
Right. I tell you all the time, I'd rather be lucky. I'd rather be lucky than good. That was lucky on that play. They've scored.
That was a guy that could improvise, though.
They've scored one touchdown in eight quarters. Now, look, yep. I'm telling you, I think this draft class that they got, they pulled in here.
I think it's not bad.
Not bad at all. Because you got guys, although I see more Jackson Slater. He was on the inactive list yesterday, the guard out of Sacramento State. I like Io Manor. I like DK. I like Cam Ward. I like Gunnar Helm. I think those guys are really good. Oladejo, I think he has no idea what he's doing. He's trailing every play. You can watch that. And you don't take
a couple of flashes, but right, you don't take a project.
Right, you don't do that. So, I mean, there is some hope you got for this football team here. There's not enough. The Chiefs-Eagles game. Right?
I watched it.
Do you think the Titans can compete with those two teams?
Not a chance.
Not a chance, right? Nope. But at one point, the Chiefs were terrible.
But here's the – right. The Chiefs will probably figure it out because – Paul, give us a call back later. We're talking Titans right now. We'll get to the Vols a little later on in the show. The Chiefs will probably figure it out, but right now they don't look good. They got major holes because mm-hmm. Kelsey's done.
He's done.
And so, therefore, he didn't have anybody to throw to.
Kelsey looks completely different today than he did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was a thick muscle dude. Now he's just riding out. And I don't care. I'd tell it to his face. I don't care. He dropped the pass yesterday in the end zone. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Travis Kelsey of old catches that. And it has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. It has nothing to do with her. He's just – I think it's – he should have retired last year. There comes a point where you say goodbye. Anyway, I'm not talking about the Chiefs anymore. But this team – I mean, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And now you got the Colts coming in here. The Colts have done something that no team in the Super Bowl era has done. You know what that is?
What?
Their first two games, they have not punted one time. Thank God, because punters are not people. So thank God, no punting. And the Colts roll in here with a pretty good team. They're playing for Jim Irsay.
The thing on them is – and I think they'll come in here and beat the Titans. I think the Titans will start 0-3, based on what I've seen. Daniel Jones, the league will figure out, and he will figure out that he's Daniel Jones eventually.
Really?
I think.
Maybe he won't. Maybe he needs this third opportunity. Maybe this is the opportunity he needs.
Yeah.
We've seen it before, man. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold.
What kills me is you got all these coaches. Like, we sit here and say – Brian Callahan's never called plays before, and he needs to give it up, and you know he can't do it as a head coach. And all of that is correct right now. The thing that drives me nuts is, you know, Shane Steichen didn't call plays. Zach Taylor didn't call plays. Now, granted, you know, you get Joe Burrow. Okay, I'll give you that. But, like, there's all these examples of guys that are out of this McVay-Shanahan tree
right.
that never called plays and become head coaches – and then they call plays, and it works just fine, with or without the star quarterback.
Maybe.
So why couldn't this freaking organization figure it out?
Maybe you're just not good.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're, that's not your calling.
Yeah.
No pun intended. That if for Callahan, but I don't see the anger in him. Why did he not go to Calvin Ridley when he dropped a pass? Why was he more mad at some stupid penalty on the field than he was at the players not doing their job? I need to see anger. At some point, you got to get pissed off because if not, it ain't working.
By the way, Dr. Crane, I'm just going to tell you, it is going to be a miracle if I get through this 3 hours without dropping an F-bomb, because I've almost done it.
We're running to the hallway.
Yeah, just have my back, man. That's all I can say. But look, I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm not trying to blow sunshine up, you know, or anything. There are some positives with this team, and mainly they're around the quarterback. But the problem is the play caller, the head coach, they're going to win. If they win, it's going to be in spite of him. Yeah. Like, he's not helping at all. And we went into the season knowing this wasn't going to be a very good team, but the head coach can't be a part of the problem, and the head coach is a part of the problem.
He's a big part of the problem. He's a big part of the problem. They're going to win. You're right. They're going to win in spite of him. It's just not good. It's okay. You're not good. We figured it out. You're not good.
But the problem is, if you fire him now, I mean, what does it really do? Because, like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you keep him, it's like, well, he's not really doing what you need him to do, and he's losing games for you. If you fire him, you're going to go into a lame duck interim situation, which, what's that really going to do?
Hey, they did it. Look, he's 3-16. Wisenhut was fired at 3-20. What? Wisenhut was 3-20 when they fired him, okay? And Mularkey came in. Mularkey kind of turned.
So is Mike McCoy that guy? Is Mike McCoy Mike Mularkey?
Could be.
Because that's who it would be. Because you're firing – if you fire Brian Callahan, you're firing Bill Callahan, you're firing Nick Holtz. You're definitely firing those three. So does Mike McCoy take over as the interim coach?
What about Mo Hardigree? Let him do it. He spends a lot of time with Cam.
He's the OC.
He's the quarterback coach currently. He becomes the
OC. He becomes the OC.
Yeah. It ain't working now.
Mike McCoy becomes the head coach who has head coaching experience.
Right. Yeah.
Do not put keep Bones Fossil where he is, and keep Denard Walker where he is.
Yep.
Because I'll say this, not perfect. Defense might be a little bit better than we initially thought.
Legarius Seed sucks.
Get rid of him. He had a good game yesterday. What are you talking about?
He got beaten by Adams twice badly. Look at his stats. Look at his stats.
I did look at his stats.
And he had a penalty in the end zone. He's not good. You're paying him to be a number one corner, and he's not good.
He's not the shutdown corner.
He's not. You're paying him for that. Thanks a lot, Ran. He's not. Get rid of his ass. Get rid of him. I know you can't because you pay him a lot of money. But too many excuses for this team.
He had
team.
Three tackles yesterday. That's what he had.
I don't get it. A cornerback. I'm not hiring you for your tackles. I'm hiring you to shut down the other receiver. Yeah. And Stafford went to Davante Adams over and over and over again.
Yeah, Adams had a
right
good day.
Yeah, there is some talent over there. There is some talent over there. But you got to score points. You scored one touchdown in 8 quarters off a fluke play. That's what you scored. And we knew it going into the season. These guys didn't play in the preseason together. There's a lot of things we point at. We're not going to say we were right. We want this team to be successful, and they're not. And I don't think they're going to be for the foreseeable future. And that's frustrating.
We will have Brian Callahan's Monday press conference coming up at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Also, John McClain joins us today at 2 o'clock. It is a Reaction Monday, and we want your Titans reaction. Yes, we will get into some college stuff later on in the show. But right now, all Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day is pretty simple, right?
Yeah, goes back to Brian Callahan. Are you buying this guy? Are you selling this guy? Do you still believe in him? You want to give him some hope for a little bit? Are you ready to move on? We love your opinions. 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan, you still buying it? Are you ready to sell?
Presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Little Doobie Brothers. So they're at, where are they tonight?
First Bank,
okay.
Good show. The Coral Reefer Band's opening up for them. So a lot of Jimmy Buffett there tonight. They're starting tailgating at 2 today. They're opening the parking lot at 2.
Will you tell Mac McAnally we said what's up?
I will tell Mac tonight. He's a big fan of the show and said, Chase says hi. He said, I appreciate you boys every time. And then that's how Mac sounds.
I think they should invite you up to do come Monday.
I think I'm coming up to do grapefruit.
Oh, grapefruit, juicy fruit? Yep. That's a good one.
I think so.
If I could pick one song, like Buffett song, that I'd want to, like if they were like, Chase, bring your guitar, come up and sing a song, it would be it's not a popular one, but it's one of my all-time favorites. A peanut butter conspiracy.
Great song. Great, absolutely great song.
Who's going to steal the peanut butter? Right. I'll get the can of sardines.
That's a great song. So, yeah, it'd be a fun time tonight.
I believe that song's a true story, too.
I think you're correct on that.
And I think he did pay the mini mart back, so pretty neat. 615-737-1025. It is a Reaction Monday. A lot of you have texted in, 615-737-1025. 5353 said, if we would have turned the ball over trying to get six before the half, I would have felt better. So, like, to your point, to go for it, not settle for the point. There are times when, yes, it makes sense. Take the points. But when you're a team that is not very good and you're in position, yeah, you went into the half with the lead, but you're in a position where you could really change the course of the game, I agree with you. Go for it.
How do you get confidence, right, by succeeding?
Yeah.
And so how are you going to succeed? By doing. So I'm all about going for it. I mean, you got to make Cam uncomfortable before he becomes comfortable. And that's all part of it.
Brian says, not only is it three – is this Brian Callahan texting about himself? not only is he 3-16, it's also unwatchable football.
You're wrong.
David in Paris. Joe, I'm cool with you saying I don't know, but not the head coach. This guy is soft and not ready to be a head coach. Look, he's not a head coach.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not head coach material.
Yeah.
He's just not.
He's never, and he's
and
never
that's okay. To. There are a lot of good assistant coaches in football.
Here's the problem. Here is what has been exposed. I'm not even sure he's a good coordinator. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
He had the title of offensive coordinator, but he didn't call plays. He's not a good play caller.
He's not. You're right. No, you're right.
Keith, through two games, the Titans have zero touchdowns on plays that Callahan drew up. The only touchdown was thanks to the playmaking of Cam.
Exactly right.
Sure, I mean, look, he pulled.
That's right.
Pulled something out of thin air.
Big time, he did.
When he did that, like, I was like, holy, you know what? Like, how did he pull that off? Because he did everything like you should not do.
Yeah. Right.
But it was a tremendous throw, acrobatic throw, and probably an even better catch by Adam Manor.
Their only touchdown in eight quarters. It's
terrible. And I love how everybody was like, well, who gets the ball since it's both their first touchdown? I do believe, y'all were laughing at me, but I do believe what they do is they deflate it and they unstitch it and cut it in half. And then they – because when they do that, like if it's a monumental something, they'll put like the white where they can write on it or have the lettering to commemorate what that ball is. I think they will do that. And basically make two footballs out of one and give it to both of them.
Really?
Yeah. Because I know this because Floyd in his house had like – he has the Music City Miracle Ball. He had a bunch of footballs that, you know, they had deflated and put the white part where they could stitch on like what it meant. And there were a few. So I think they can do that.
You do this to me. You get me fascinated by something I had no idea about. And now I'm consumed with this.
Yeah.
So they deflate the football, they unstitch it, and they make two footballs out of the one, and they add the white to it so you could sign it. Interesting.
Correct.
That is 100% fascinating to me. Okay. I always wonder where the white – okay, now I know.
Yep. 71 or DK in Mount Juliet says last quarterback to throw for 300 yards was Levis in December 31st, 2023. Do really think any opponents respect the Titans passing game? No, but I think they'll learn to respect Cam Ward because he's starting to show you he's got something.
Yep.
If he's with a capable coach that can be developed, because look, there's still like a couple of the sacks yesterday were still on him.
Right.
And there's things that like he's trying too much to make a play. Where he's just got to get rid of it, whether it's rolling out and throwing it out of bounds or the check down guy sometimes the play's not there.
Again, think if he was being coached by Sean Payton on that Broncos offense.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be a success. He would be a success. But now he's stuck on this really bad football team with a bad play call and a bad head coach. He'll fight through it. I'm telling you, I am sold on Cam Ward 100%.
Michael Madison says, we've got just as many wins as last year's Super Bowl runner-up. I'd say that's pretty good. Hashtag sarcasm. That was good. Let's real quick before we get to Brian Callahan. Shoal wants to weigh in. Hope I said that right. Welcome in.
Me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, you guys charge everything. It was horrible yesterday. I don't think we're going to win a lot of games if we don't throw the ball. If we in a field goal range, take two to the end zone to see if something happens. If you limited him, he's not going to develop. It's a near, we will lose, let's lose. Why is he afraid for turning the ball over? Let us turn the ball over as we want to see if we can get something beautiful come out of it.
Love it.
We're not going to do that. We just want to take the point. And it's not enough. We're not scoring enough. We still got the same 12 points from a field goal and one touchdown in two games. You're not getting it. Other team are killing us.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
He's right.
Yeah, very good.
Good points, Cole.
Very good. We'll get back to your calls, your texts coming up in just a few minutes. But next, Brian Callahan addresses the media. You'll hear that live here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It is always about great service. Brian Callahan will be addressing the media here in just a moment as we will see what he has to say that's maybe different from yesterday. So we'll take you over to St. Thomas Ascension Sports Park once he gets up to the podium. A couple of texts still to get to. Let's see, 2518. You thought they were going to win at the half? I thought they had a chance. All these players have to do is leave the Giants and they all become pros, LOL. That's a good one. Dylan says, hell, put Fossil as head coach. That dude shows some emotion and turns stuff around. I know, but I want him to be the they finally have a special teams coach that's worth a damn. Leave him alone. Put Mike McCoy. It's fine. 2298 says, the pregame show needs to stop Sunshine pumping with their game predictions. Big Joe kept it real, thankfully. So I guess Derek and Chris both took the Titans? Is that what I understand?
I guess so, yeah.
Interesting. Eli says, if you fire the head coach, you get an interim coach bump, and Bill Callahan has done nothing for this O-line, so good riddance. Cameron says, there's no reason to fire Callahan midseason. Then Cam will have three coaches in like 15 months. You get nothing from that. You might win one more game because the firing lights a fire, but that is completely meaningless. You choose to keep him preseason, so you ride it out and get a high draft pick out of it. I tend to lean more of that. I mean, like, I feel like Cam is good enough that anything, like, it's not going to hurt him at this point. I think what would hurt him is having three different offenses and basically 15 months. That to me would not be good.
Yeah, and like I told you Friday, if you see him making a lot of checks at the line, I think that's where you're seeing your progression.
Yep.
The coaching stuff, that's beyond fixable at this point.
Yep. I would agree with that. 0247, three words that stuck out to me in the post-game interview stuck out to me too. I don't know, coming from the head coach. He did say I don't know a lot. Joe, let's sell Callahan at the end of the season. That way we have the first overall pick in the draft. We trade out of that first overall pick for multiple picks. I will say, and it's way too early to talk about that, but if they got the first pick in back-to-back, I think you 100% trade down. Get a receiver. Go get your stud receiver to be, you know, with Iowa Manor and be the receiver of the future. But, like, trade down and get a bounty of picks, which I think would be awesome. I think that would be exactly what they need to do. Again, we're waiting on Brian Callahan to address the media. He has not walked up to the podium as of yet. So, you know, once again, he's late. But it is what it is.
Having his tea with Amy.
Oh, yeah, that's probably.
Oh, it's today, tea day?
It's lunchtime.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I wonder what they talk about.
What would you do if, like, it pops up and Amy walks up there? I mean, would we? I mean,
oh my gosh.
Like, we would go nuts. Like, I'm here today to thank Brian for his time with us.
She has
to
call.
No longer our head coach.
She has to call Mike Keith back for that announcement.
Mike is here. Man, he doesn't work here anymore. Well, Mike is here. they are putting Mike in the Ring of Honor on Sunday.
Are they?
Are the Vols off this weekend?
They play UAB.
Oh, okay. So he can. So he's coming in Sunday, and they're going to put Mike Keith in the Ring of Honor.
Let's hope Heupel drops 100 on that bonehead Dilfer.
I think there's a good chance of that after Saturday.
I'd love it. No, that would be something if she walks out. I think she walks out in about 6 weeks after Vrabel lays a whooping on her.
Right now, I don't think he makes it to Vrabel. Now, look, I'm kind of in the boat where you're not going to fix anything long term by firing him now. If you do, it's whatever. But as a texter pointed out, and I've said this too, what worries me is putting Cam with three different offensive coordinators essentially in the course of 15 months is what would happen.
Okay.
You saw that with Caleb Williams. Not the end of the world.
Right.
Right. If that happens, right, it happens all the time. I'm just saying that, and again, I know I don't like living in the world of sucking, but like if you realize 6 weeks from now he ain't the guy and you're not going to be good and nothing's going to get better, then I'm in give me the high pick mode, trade, get a bunch of picks and rebuild this roster, because there is one person in that building that I actually do trust right now, and his name is Mike Borgonzi.
Cam has had four coordinators in 5 years. I think
that's a fair point.
I think the message is still simple. You're a quarterback. Throw the ball, make plays. We're going to build this around you. Not saying it's not built around him now, but sometimes a change is needed. And look, they're 0-2. They're not getting any better. I don't see them getting any better. The schedule now is daunting. Colts are 2-0. Texans are mad at 1. Texans play tonight. They might be 0-2. They might be desperately rolling them in 2 weeks. Then you go to Arizona. I think Arizona is playing the most hapless franchise is playing well. Then you got to go to Las Vegas. Then you come back and Vrabel comes to town. I mean, it's not getting any easier, and I don't see any improvement except from the quarterback who is doing his best to make things happen right now against some really bad play calling that's going on. The fact he went conservative before the half drives me insane.
Before the half? I mean, he just went conservative throughout, I thought.
Well, when you get the ball down there, you can make things happen and take shots and do what you can do something. And it's not happening right now, and it's so – but we saw this coming. We saw this coming back in the summertime.
We did.
Call over there and get his ass to the podium to somebody. Can we do this? Dr. Crane, you know people in this town.
Yeah, I don't know if I can make those arrangements right now.
Well, like his offense, try it.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask it just for giggles. Who gets fired first, Chad Brinker or Brian Callahan?
Oh, Callahan.
That's what I think, too. But I don't know. Like, if this thing completely goes off the rails, I'm not 100% sold that Brinker doesn't get it, too. Because that's what Amy does. That, you know, it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to connect all the dots to how this has been a failure, and then you're out.
Aren't we off the rails already?
But with that said, then you truly reset, and Borgonzi is the guy that's going to hire your next head coach.
I have no problem.
Then you're back where you need to be. Give him the president of football operations, whatever makes you feel good. You know, let it be known that he's, unless you're going and getting, you know, all of a sudden Andy Reid decides, hey, I'm done with Mahomes, I want to come hang out with you. Like, then okay, then
could
that's
happen.
Different, but. I think at that point, then you can reset and Borgonzi be the guy, the football guy.
Okay.
Burke on the business side and then Borgonzi on the football side.
Something's going to have to happen. I mean, it's just you can't keep doing
this. Well, right now the damn head coach needs to be on time and come to the podium.
10 minutes late. He's like, this will mess Chase and Joe up if I come on
He's
late.
He's going, I'm finishing my spinach.
During a break right here. But I wonder if they – but again, I wonder if they have this little talk Amy Adams and Callahan do. What are they talking about? What could they possibly be talking about?
So, how was your weekend?
Yep. Gary, you found your way around yet, around Nashville?
Yeah. Good.
Brian, you're going to eat that quiche?
Quiche.
Remember the day we did
Do Saturday? Well, I went to Target and, you know, got some stuff. And
remember the day we asked the question, and it was because Amy flew to Miami to meet Cam. It was like, what could they have possibly talked about? And what's the first thing Amy asked Cam? And y'all's responses in the text line were unbelievable that day.
My favorite was, are you the new PR guy? Are you the new Robbie?
Are you the new Robbie? Oh, my gosh. I laughed at that one. There were a few others that I'm not going to repeat. Just hilarious.
No. 2498, the fact that he's always late speaks volumes and explains the state of the team. No structure.
I will not argue with that at all. You're onto something there.
Both, because Dustin in Hopkinsville says, Borgonzi is a dog. No reason to keep Brinker. Take all the trash out at once. Wes in Clarksville, if they do fire Callie, do you really think they can get the next coach pick right? If they let Mike Borgonzi do it and stay out of his way and don't have this damn committee and all, like, working together, and then yes, I do. Because I think he knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And people I've talked to indicate that he knows what he's doing.
I'm with you on that. Now he is 13 minutes late.
I would also, and I agree with Dustin too, I would try and find an experienced coach. I don't know if I'd go first time again.
Okay.
But it's got to be the right. Like Gruden, if they hired Gruden, I would like that hire.
Oh. We'd love that hire.
Now, I would want him, like, I'd be open to keeping Denard Walker as the defensive coordinator.
Was it Denard Wilson?
Denard Wilson. What did I say? I knew I was going to do that.
I've only done it 100 times.
So. Yeah.
Tez Walker scored 2 touchdowns for the Ravens yesterday.
But wasn't there a Denard Walker that played for the Titans?
Yeah, number 25.
Yeah, played with Derek.
Out of LSU. That's right.
Because he's done that too. And, like, I do it all the time. Denard Wilson. I'd keep him. I'd keep Fossil. And then you bring in another. And, like, if they hired Mike McCarthy, which is a possibility, then, you know, Fossil was his special teams coordinator. So you keep that, you know, that's fine.
They're all connected, man.
But you would need an OC that can develop Cam.
I love this holding pattern. We're just kind of.
We're in a four-corner stall.
Now, hold on a second with the car phone there. Get your butt in there and do the press conference.
Yeah.
So
because I can guarantee you, as soon as I say we're going to go to break.
He walks up. Yep. So, good weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Just chilled. Yeah, watched good. Football. Went to the game yesterday.
MTSU had a big win. That was fun to watch.
There's no way you saw that coming. Like, no. Watching most of that game.
They're 6 minutes left to go in the game. They're down 13-0. And they're getting momentum, but they're not doing anything. That's, I tell you, football, 4 quarters, baby. And it was the quickest comeback with the less amount of time that's ever happened in Conference USA. And they won the game 14-13. Nick Vadiato is a beast. I mean, that last play, 4th down, game on the line, he goes in from 7 yards and just blows past people. To get in the end zone, that team, that's what you need, man. You need guys like that. So good, congrats. We'll talk to Derek Mason on Wednesday. Yep.
All right, let me read this text. Because it's, when are you guys going to quit blaming player mistakes and just downright bad player mistakes on people that can't fix the problem? We just – okay, he's up. All right, let's go to him now.
Yesterday from the game, again, just a – opportunity to go toe-to-toe for 3 quarters and got to find a way to finish the game better in all 3 phases, I think, at the end of the day, to put ourselves in position to win. But a lot of good things to coach off of, to work off of. Got a really good Indianapolis team coming in here, a divisional game at home. So got to get our attention focused on them real quick and get the things fixed. We got to get fixed this week and keep pushing forward. So I'll let you guys go ahead.
Brian, at some point, pressure building to break through and get a win. I know that this is a new season, but there's a skid now that's going back to last season. And with this being the second home game, then you go on the road for 3 days or 3 games. Excuse me. How much does that mean? You know, just get a win right now.
Yeah, our urgency is high to get a win. that hasn't changed. It's been a high for 2 weeks now. I mean, it's not for lack of urgency or lack of intent. Certainly would love to get a win so that our players can feel that feeling and we can get ourselves on the right track. But those are things that we're all working hard towards. I don't, it's just one of those things that when you've lost the amount of games that we have over the time that we've done it, you're searching for that feeling and searching for that performance that allows you to go win a game. And thus far through two games, a lot of good things, but ultimately not enough to win them. And we got to find a way to go win a game at the end of the day. And that's always going to be our goal. And our urgency is incredibly high to go do that.
When Josh came back again today, what did you like? Maybe what are some things he still needs to keep improving at?
Yeah, he sees the field really, really well. That part has been really encouraging. I think we had, one or two missed opportunities that you can't miss in a game like that, that we had a chance to generate something explosive potentially. I thought that he was better with his footwork and with his progressions this week than he was the week before. I think he gets better every time he walks on the field, and that's really good to see. The biggest thing for him is the ball security portion. It's just trying to keep two hands on the ball, moving through the pocket. That's a thing that all young quarterbacks got to get used to. There's arms and bodies and people all raking at that ball at a really high rate, and we got to do a better job securing it in the pocket. But there was a lot of really great things from Cam. Some of the throws, the location, some of those balls to Ellick down the sideline. There was some really, really good stuff from the game that I'm incredibly encouraged by. And again, you stack another week of practice and another game, and you like to see it continue to get better. And I think we will.
If he's seeing the field that well, what's the disconnect with the completion percentage, which is not?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've had some drops. I think we can all agree with that. That affects it a pretty good amount. And then we've had a couple of potential, aggressive plays that he saw well and put the ball in the air, and then we got to go make those plays. And then, he's it's not perfection. I mean, he's missed some throws too that we like to have. So, but I think in totality, where he's at and what he's done is something that I'm very encouraged by. I'm excited by, and I think, for a young player in his first two starts against two really good defenses, I think there's some really good stuff to take away.
Seemed like at least a few times he passed on Lockett, who was pretty open, shorter, to go more aggressively for something more complicated, more difficult, deeper. What's the counsel there after the fact?
Just awareness of the play and of the coverage structure, just understanding that he's a bit of a hunter. He likes to go looking for big plays, and I think that's pretty normal for some of these guys coming out of college these days. That's how they play at that level. And it's different because the rushes are different and the caliber of coverage player is different. But at this level, you have to be a little bit more strategic in when and where and how. And those are things that he's learning. There's answers baked into a lot of plays for the quicker throw, for a man coverage beater. It doesn't necessarily always have to be down the field. And those are things that Cam is learning every time he goes out there. But those some opportunities that are good teachable moments for him when it comes to understanding the structure of the play and where his answers are versus particular coverages. I'll come back, Terry.
Well, it was on the same subject.
Go ahead, Terry.
When you talk about the yards per attempt, it's pretty low. You attribute that.
What's the yards per attempt? Just like I don't know what it is.
4.7, I think. Do you attribute that more to the incompletions, or do you attribute that more to taking the shorter routes or things like that? What do you think factors into that?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know enough about that number to really dive into it, but I think we've had plenty of opportunities to go down the field. He's taken a few of them. He's done a good job of managing some shorter throws. That's all a part of it. You still have to be able to, you get playing with a backup tackle and you're trying to manage that process as well. So there's some things that go hand in hand. There's probably some run solution throws that we've kicked out that haven't gotten, they're behind the line of scrimmage type throws, don't get a ton of yards. So I'm sure there's a combination of a bunch of different things. I wouldn't necessarily attribute it to anything that he's doing or not doing at the moment through two games.
Dating back to last year, you guys have been outscored in the fourth quarter, 80, 90 points. I know yesterday you said you're going to take a hard look at the adjustments and all of that, and if you found anything, feel free to share. But you've been in the league a long time. Just generally speaking, when teams have a problem finishing, what's the common thread there?
That's a layered question. There's a lot you can probably go, a lot of directions you can take that. I do think we've been in both the games, you know, with time late in the third, early in the fourth. Like every good game in the NFL is, you know, they're all within a score as you approach the fourth quarter, most of them. And there's a lot of things that go into it. It's hard to necessarily pin it all down on one particular thing, but we haven't played well enough in the fourth quarter, and have to find a way to continue to play a little bit better, a little bit longer than we have at the moment. And that comes in, there's a coaching involved in that. There's execution involved in that. Those things all have to find a way to improve, and haven't done it yet, and we have to find a way to do it.
Do you think the idea of in-game adjustments or the criticism of you guys' inability to do that is fair or overblown?
I mean, I think I've kind of jumped down this road before with what that looks like. I mean, those adjustments are ongoing. It's constant. Very rarely. I mean, halftime feels like it's about 5 minutes long by the time you get in there and make any adjustments that you haven't made yet. You know, really, we're adjusting in between every series. We're going through the looks that we got the series before, what the next calls are that are coming up, where we want to head, what direction, how they're playing us, how do we counteract it. Those things are sort of ongoing conversations. You know, I've always been a huge believer in the, you know, this halftime thing. It's very much overblown in terms of what you can accomplish in that short amount of time that you don't already accomplish in the conversations in between series. I mean, that's really where the adjustments happen, is in between series. They're a lot more immediate than waiting for halftime to make an adjustment, I think. So anytime you don't perform in those moments, though, you're open for criticism, and I understand that. So but I would say that it's not necessarily a halftime adjustment thing. It's that's constantly happening throughout the course of the game.
With Ward and the game-to-game improvements that you touched on, like, what would you say is the next step of improvement for him, and how much will that tie into things opening it up a little bit more for him as far as attempts and things like that?
You know, I think some of the commitment to trying to run the ball is the defenses we were playing. You know, that's part of it. You know, how do you keep a defense from teeing off? Well, you try to stay in manageable spots. And we've put ourselves in some tough third downs, I think, over the course of these two games on a first down sack or a penalty or things of that nature. But really, how do you play teams that can rush the passer? You got to be able to run a football, and you got to put yourself in more manageable spots on third down in particular. The old stay on schedule adage, you know, I think the Rams were a really good example of that yesterday. I mean, they put themselves in, I think, third and five or less quite a bit during that game. It doesn't allow you to get your pressure packages up. It's harder to rush the quarterback. The ball comes out faster. All of those things factor in when you're trying to maintain some rhythm and some balance. And, you know, for the first 2 weeks, we've tried to do that. And to, you know, to say Cam's going to go out there and we're going to throw the ball 45 times a game at the moment, I don't know that that's accurate or smart to do in that case. Certainly, if it was necessity and we had to, then so be it. But I just think you still want to have some semblance of balance. You want to run the football well, which I thought we did run the football well yesterday. I thought Tony Pollard had a really nice game. And that's how you help your line, too, is you keep it balanced and you work your actions off of it. I thought we got a ton of production out of our movement game yesterday. You know, some of the play action and keepers that were off of that stuff that we put on tape. So it's still an evolving process, and he's getting better and doing things from a footwork perspective and a timing perspective. Every time he's been out, he's gotten better at it. I think that'll continue.
11 sacks in the first two games. How much of a concern is the pass pro right now?
Yeah, I know. Again, we've been down this road, I think, before, and I don't mean to be dismissive of your question, but I think that, as I've said a million times, that sacks are an offensive problem. They're not an offensive line problem. Felt like a handful of our sacks were avoidable. You know, one of the sacks is Cam running out of the pocket and taking a 2-yard loss, you know, outside the pocket, which isn't an offensive line thing. I think a lot gets made of sacks being an offensive line stat. And while I'm not dismissing the fact that we got to play better up front, that's certainly not the case. But the sack thing is an equal parts problem. We've had two or three pressures and sacks come off of some running back protection things. It's not just them. And so, yeah, the number in and of itself is concerning. Don't like that number. Don't want to have that. That's not going to help us win any football games. But I do think there's an extra onus that gets put on our offensive line based on what's happened here before and how it's looked, that the sacks are all on them. There's 11 sacks, and oh my God, that looks terrible. I think it's a little more nuanced than that, and I think there's more things that can be done to help from, you know, quarterback perspective, from a receiver perspective, from a running back perspective. So it's an everybody issue that we don't just pin the blame on them. We got to be better everywhere on offense, I think, for that number to improve.
Would you like to see Cam maybe run a little bit more, you know, when he has a chance to either take a check down or take off, because might add a little, an extra element to the game?
Yeah, I think Cam's a really good pocket mover. I think he's got great feel. I think he's learning more and more about how these NFL pockets feel, and the duress that you get put under. And he's made some really good plays with his feet. That touchdown throw was an example of it. The difference between him and some other quarterbacks is that when he escapes the pocket, you know, he's looking for plays in the passing game. And that's what's going to end up making a lot of plays over time, is his eyes are always downfield. And there's some spots where he could run and maybe pick up a couple more yards. And I think he will as the year goes on. He'll understand where the 4 or 5 yards might actually help us more than a deep attempt that goes incomplete. But that's just things that he's learning and working through as we go. And I love his mentality when he does get out of the pocket, because that's where the big plays in this league happen, is when you break contain and your eyes are downfield and you're looking for potential explosive plays.
To that point, I don't know how many quarterbacks in the history of the league could make the play he made yesterday. Some people describe it as a no-no, yes throw.
Yeah.
How do you coach? I mean, does he have the green light to do anything like that ever?
Yeah, it's certainly a fine line. But what those are the plays that make him special. That's what makes him unique. That's what made him a number one overall pick, is the ability to make those types of plays. Really, it was smart on his part. It's 3rd and 9 from the 9. That's like a major green light to extend the play, because even if you take a 6-7 yard sack, the field goal is in your pocket. You know what I mean? It's a situational awareness thing, and that's where the good quarterbacks in this league buy time. If they know it's 3rd down, they're inside the 10-yard line. It's like, it's street ball, baby. Like that's when it happens. And that was an unbelievable throw and catch. And really the reaction by Ellick was the one that was the most impressive part of the play, other than the throw. But yeah, that's like the old Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre clip where, you know, they got the old clip on where he's, you know, no, okay. That's good. That's a good play. Like, that's what it feels like sometimes. And you don't want to take that away from him, because those are the plays that he's capable of making.
When you made your way through the offseason analysis on the sins and all that stuff, mm-hmm. what was the conclusion you communicated to the players about penalties? Is it as simple as penalties bad, or is there more nuance? How did you kind of explain what you were trying to get across to them about what needed to change with penalties?
The end result is the controlling the controllable ones. You know, you're going to get called for holding. Defensive players are going to get called for defensive pass interference. That's just the way it's. Some of it's subjective. It depends on the crew. All that stuff. Those are the ones you don't necessarily have control of. But the ones that you do, the pre-snap and post-snap, alignment, those types of things. You can, you know, we jumped offsides 3 times yesterday, and those are 5-yard penalties. And on 1st and 10, now it's 1st and 15, and now it's 2nd and 10, and now it's 3rd and 8. You know, those are the rhythms you're trying to break. And ultimately, are penalties predictive of wins and losses? Are they predictive for playoff teams? You know, it's a little bit looser in the penalty thing than it is per se, like the turnovers, right? Turnovers are incredibly predictive. That's good teams turn the ball over, they make the playoffs. If you don't take care of it, you don't win games. Like, that's tried and true NFL formula for every team in the league. The penalty part is a little bit more variant. There's not as many concrete things that you say if you less penalties equals more wins. That's not necessarily the case. But there is a brand of football that you try to play where you're not beating yourself. And that's happened for us a few times, as we're trying not to put ourselves in position to lose games. We're trying to win them. And so you have to start there by taking care of the things that don't get you beat. And I think ultimately that's where the emphasis started, and where what we landed on is that's how you have to improve your football team, is taking care of the things you can control. Because there's a lot of things you can't. But the things that we can, we've got to do a better job of controlling.
Why aren't the screens working? And what do you need to add on top of the screens to the short game?
Yeah, I think probably based on what I assume, some of the things that get labeled as screens are what we call run solutions. Those are some of the bubbles and the things in the perimeter that you have to have when you're running the ball, like an 11 personnel. You have to have some things to manage pressure and extra players and stuff like that. They've become a lot harder now than they used to be because of the offensive pass interference rules. And what ends up happening with some of those bubbles is the receivers can't go contact. They can't go get on the DB first. And it's really sort of changed how the production of those things. They have to wait to go put hands on, and then those DBs go running right through their face and they're on their heels. They're plays that you know, I think we got to do a little bit better job of in terms of when and where we throw them and when and where we ask those guys to do that, because they're harder now than maybe they've ever been to execute with an offensive advantage because of that OPI contact rule. But a lot of those things, when you're talking about screens, I think that's what gets brought up is those plays. Our actual screen game has been okay. It hasn't been great, but those are also great tools to help your line and help your ability to slow down the pass rush. And so we like to get some more improvement from those things. And again, for the average person, a bubble and a run solution looks very similar to a screen, and I understand that. But I think we can get more out of that screen game, certainly, from an execution standpoint.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There you go. That is head coach Brian Callahan, his Monday press conference. We will react to some of that. Also, Adam Schefter is on the TV right now. Joe Burrow will need toe surgery and be out for 3 months, according to Adam Schefter. So we'll have all that coming up in hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.